For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Chuck, you think about the play that Payne Holt made, the play that Jared Sprague-Lott made. Daniel Gafford maybe had the one of the best plays of the weekend with the block on Paul George. I mean, top 10 plays were just littered with Razorbacks and former Hogs.
Yeah, it was kind of neat to be able to see all that. And it is fun when you turn on the great plays. And I think we knew when we saw Holt make that play, there was a pretty good chance that was going to make somebody's top 10.
Yeah, it was pretty special to watch, and maybe, again, some of you missed it. Unbelievable. Here's what Peyton said after the game in regards to just kind of what led to that.
We actually work on it when we do, like, regular fly balls in practice. It was just the perfect scenario. When the bases got loaded, I ran through it in my head and was like, I have an opportunity to actually pull off a deke right here. Perfect fly ball. It was coming straight down. Did it. Threw it in and bragged. Made a good throw home. Got the guy and saved a run.
Chuck, when's the last time you ever heard the word deke? Tommy asked me that earlier. It's like, I can't think of a time outside of this weekend that I've heard that used in sports. Phil used it. Payton used it. DVH used it. Tom Hart used it. I mean, it was the popular word.
That's a baseball term. I mean, I got to be honest. When I was around baseball regularly, that's an everyday term.
Okay.
And it's one of those terms that baseball people don't just use on the field. I mean, like, you deke somebody just in everyday life, you know? But that's a baseball term.
I guess it's short for decoy, probably.
I guess so. That's what I've always assumed. You know, that was always, and I'll just be honest here, that was always one of those terms that I hesitated to use on the air because it is such a baseball term, and it's a term that really only baseball people know. And there was a time or two I did use the word decoy, but then I thought, you know, who am I kidding? I mean, I don't know what else to say. They deked him. Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing about that play, and I've not heard him talk extensively about it, but the throw went into third. I think that the play's designed to get the guy to leave and then you throw behind him. And, but the guy tagged and went again. I mean, it was total confusion, but yeah. It was a great play.
Kevin, maybe get him in a rundown.
Then. Yeah, Kevin O's.
Well, generally what you're doing there, I think, is that if the guy leaves early, you throw behind him to third and it's a double play.
Yeah.
You force him out. But this guy came back and tagged and tried to go again. And at that point, he was dead meat.
Kevin O'Sullivan, when they panned to Kevin O'Sullivan in the dugout, his face of disbelief was one of the funniest things I've ever watched during the course of a baseball game. And he just looked shocked, stunned, bewildered. It was just like, what did I just watch my player do?
What would that have been? 8-5-2? How many times you written down 8-5-2 in your book?
I believe that was right.
Yeah,
center, I believe that was
center,
right.
Third catcher. Yeah,
but it's an interesting play in that, you know, he obviously was not necessarily planning on him tagging and trying to score, because that's a throw Holt can make to the plate easily, and it's just an interesting play all the way around, and one that you'll very seldom see.
And how about Jared Sprague-Lott, though? Because, again, we keep calling it Peyton Holt's play, but Jared's the one that relayed it to home, and he's also the one the day before that saved that run and maybe saved the game for Arkansas. So I don't know if he's been given enough credit during that situation.
Sprague-Lott's got great baseball instincts, and great baseball instincts, which you have to have to play that position. And you've got to be thinking ahead of the pitch. But I also think that, you know, what Holt said there when he talked about how, you know, I planned it, I thought about it, you know, that's what good players do. That's what good defense is made of, is guys, you know, it just goes back to, you know, your little league coach yelling out in the outfield, probably right field for you, Ty. Hey, Richardson, where are you going if the ball's hit to you? I mean, that's just what you got to think about. Yeah. I was actually the one in right field.
Okay, well, we keep talking about it. Might as well relive the whole thing.
Fouch continues to get ready in the pen as the pitch to Shelton is hit high in the air. It's deep enough for the run. Peyton Holt in center field makes the catch. Runners don't try to score. Donay's coming home. He throws to third. Sprague-Lott fires to the plate. They got him. Florida just ran themselves out of an inning, and the Hogs still hold the lead. What was Brody Donay doing? Peyton Holt deked him. He deked him in center field, and he never runs after the catch, and then he runs when he throws to third base. Has Brody Donay ever run the bases in his life? It didn't look like it. Oh, my goodness.
And that is also on the base runner, too. I mean, you hesitate, and then you go. I mean, it's not a force-out situation. And
well, it's a, you know, that's one of those backyard plays that worked, and it just totally faked the guy out. And, you know, that's a one in a million, maybe not one in a million, but it's one in a thousand plays. I got to be honest. I've watched baseball a long, long time. That's the first time I've ever seen that play.
Yeah. We were just commenting earlier, wondering aloud, how much copycatting will it be attempted to go on? You know, the first thing you got to do there is catch the ball. You know, so you can't be out there monkeying around trying to deke somebody, and then you drop the ball in center field. Job one is catch the ball.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and there will be somebody in the next few weeks attempt to recreate that moment, copycat it, and they'll drop the ball.
Me and my softball league in right field.
You know, somebody in the beer league softball will do that.
That's a trick play that, just like you work on trick plays in football, just like you work on a, you know, you've probably got, you know, teams out there work on things that they never employ in games. I guarantee you somebody's got a hidden ball trick out there. Yeah. Somebody does.
The fake throw to first. I've seen that.
And if you know your history, that stuff's worked at Omaha before. Mm-hmm. I mean, that stuff's worked. And so, but when you see it, it's very unlikely that you see it again. Because I guarantee you, everybody that watched SportsCenter, everybody that saw that play, every third base coach from Little League all the way to the big leagues is going to be aware of that possibility from now on.
Yeah. What were your thoughts here? You can jump in with us on the McCarty Daniel Hotline, 877-377-6963. Dave Van Horn had some thoughts on just the season, kind of just where they are right now. Here's what he had to say just on being in a good spot.
Yeah, we're in good position. I mean, we've done a good job of taking care of, you know, games here in Fayetteville. Got a series win last weekend, a tough place, South Carolina. Feel like we're trending up a little bit on playing on the road. I mean, we've got two tough games in midweek, and then we get to go to Kentucky. It's a really tough place to play. we're going to have to play really good to have success up there.
Yeah. So you get an extra day of rest because they moved up the Sunday game to Saturday. And now the guys, again, get ready, as you heard, for Missouri State. Final midweek games of the season, and then you go to Lexington. I think what's most impressive when I was reading the game notes of the sent out after each game, guys, they have won 20 of the last 21 series at home. Think about that. I think we've become numb to the success that has happened in Baum Walker Stadium in the regular season. Dating back to 2019, they have won 20 of the last 21 SEC series against the best competition in baseball.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable what they've done at home. And they've done it again. They've got one more home series. Now, Mississippi State's playing pretty well right now. Mm-hmm. You better not go to sleep on those guys. Nope. They won a series at Vanderbilt, and all of a sudden they're 12-9. They're going to be in the NCAA tournament. So you better not go to sleep on them. But you got one more series at home. But, you know, in terms of winning the league, winning the division, you know, depending upon the importance that you put on that, that's going to be decided on the road.
Yep.
That's going to be decided at Kentucky, and it's going to be decided at Texas A&M. My personal belief is they're a national seed regardless, but you could be a really high national seed if you win those two. You might be number one.
Yeah, and you're probably playing, at least for now, for the regular season championship. Both Kentucky and Arkansas lead the divisions at 16-5 apiece. I know there's baseball to play after this, as you're mentioning, Chuck, but this is a huge weekend as far as who's going to be king of the mountain in the SEC.
Well, it's a moving weekend. I mean, you've got to look at what teams have left. Kentucky's getting into the meat of their schedule, too. And, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out. I do know this. There are 9 games remaining, and every single one of them is important. And when you've got good teams competing against one another, it generally comes down to the last day. And you may think it's over. I mean, we watch games right now. You watch games where it matters at the ends of seasons. You think it's over, and it's not.
I want to say this. When I looked at the schedule preseason, I did not have the Kentucky series in Lexington circled whatsoever.
Nobody.
But
did.
You think about where they are in the baseball pecking order. You just mentioned the hostility that's going to be on display this weekend with the Cal stuff. This is I'm really juiced up for this weekend because I wasn't at all. I never think of Kentucky baseball as anything, but it's definitely changed these last couple weeks.
It's certainly a meaningful series. We're brought to you by Westart Plumbing and Expert Drain Services. Since 1993, they've repaired water, sewer, gas, and grease lines. You wake up this morning looking for a plumber, needing someone to fix a hot water tank or a busted water or drain line, they're the ones to call. 479-646-5151. That's 479-646-5151. Westart Plumbing and Expert Drain Services since 1993. Chucky brings up a good point. I don't think we've ever probably focused on an Arkansas-Kentucky baseball series the way we will this weekend. And I didn't consider really the Cal angle when it comes to the road trip to Lexington. I guess that maybe will play a small part in how the crowd reacts. I imagine, like a lot of places, when you have a season that rises way above expectations, they probably have 1,000 or two more fans there than they normally do.
Well, I do think you need to understand there's a big, big difference between fan interest in Kentucky baseball and fan interest in Arkansas baseball. Vastly different. Kentucky is a basketball school and nothing more. I guarantee the biggest crowd John Calipari ever saw at a college baseball game was Saturday. And he didn't see anything that approached that at Lexington. Now, I'm not saying they won't have a good crowd. And I'm not saying they won't get on them, and I'm not saying they're not enthusiastic about their baseball, about their Wildcats when they win. But this is not going to be like playing at Texas A&M in terms of what the crowd's going to be like. Now, here's the thing about Kentucky. They are unconventional in just about every way, shape, or form. Mangione is a college baseball coach, man. I mean, they are, there's always one coach in Little League that, like, is goofy, like has his guys doing goofy stuff out in the out. This is like that guy at the college level. They just do goofy stuff, but they're good, and they win. And it'll be a tough series. I don't know that the Cal thing, fans may talk about it in the stands. I don't think it's got anything to do with what happens on the field. But, yeah, I mean, it's a big series because, you know, you'd like to win that overall title. Fans, I think, would probably really love it. And I know the players and coaches would too. But, you know, more than anything, you're wanting to continue to play good ball and position yourself for the NCAA tournament.
So we mentioned Cal, and I know, again, you're enthusiastic about not just the baseball program, but what the basketball program has been doing late. In the three different recruiting sites, you're ranked inside the top six. You signed all three of your freshmen this weekend. You'd already signed Big Z. Brandon Garrison, the transfer, was in town this weekend. Cal threw out the first pitch. I don't know if I'd call it a perfect storm because we didn't really see any commits or anything this weekend, but basketball is still very much in the headlines.
Commits especially, will follow.
Yep.
Commits will follow.
Mm-hmm. And I think about just the Arkansas, like Cal posted this thing. I don't know if you caught this. Nick Smith was in town this weekend, and he posted this graphic up. Any former Hog and any of my former players are welcome to practice at any time. And I know that was a big thing that Eric Musselman did, so I was encouraged to see that he's also kind of doing that same thing, because there will be, with the playoffs again getting underway, guys will be, some guys have been eliminated already, and some guys will continue to be eliminated. You'll see some NBA players, I think, these next couple weeks, next couple months that make their way to Fayetteville that don't necessarily have an Arkansas connection but played with Cal back in the day.
You're right. I mean, I'm quite certain they'll be here. I mean, he's and that's pretty much standard operating procedure. I mean, coaches generally let former players come back anytime they want. You want them back, particularly when they, you know, when they're playing in the NBA. So, yeah, I would imagine many of them will. Yes.
Yep. And again, some NBA action this weekend. Chuck, I found myself really, really intently watching that New York Knicks-Philadelphia game. Knicks end up winning by 5. They're up 3-1 in the series. It was the Brunson and Beach show. I mean, it just back and forth. You got a guard versus a big man. You had a bunch of Knicks fans that were in Philly. It was really funny to see how hostile those visiting fans were, even in that. But some good games yesterday, and that was really the centerpiece.
You know, Embiid didn't make a basket in the fourth quarter. I mean, the Knicks really, Achiuwa came off the bench and really did a good job on him. Playoffs are good. Yeah, I don't know what happened with Portis last night. I'm going to have to go back and look at that a little bit more closely. But, I mean, he gets thrown out with 5:20 left in the first quarter. And they were already without Lillard and already without Giannis. Yes. And, I mean, I hate to say it, but the Bucks are done. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's over.
Yeah.
And as a Knicks fan, you hate to say that?
Well, I mean, look, the road to the finals goes through Boston. I mean, you know, I pull for Bobby Portis, but I've never thought the Bucks were a threat to win the East.
Yeah, he kind of got baited.
Not without Giannis.
Yeah,
he
kind of got baited a little bit, if you missed it.
Number two offensive rating team behind Boston as Middleton drawing some contact and is going to shoot free throws. And now some shoving underneath. Look out. It was Portis, I believe, and Nembhard. As they are quickly separated, didn't look like any punches were thrown, but some hard pushing.
And, you know, he didn't get to see it here. You can see.
You see Nembhard hook him initially. Portis didn't like it, and then they just got tangled up.
Two acts by Portis. One is a push in the chest. The other one is a slap with contact to the head of Neymar. He has two technical fouls and is ejected.
So between him and Patrick Beverley, you have three technical fouls from former Razorbacks in that game. So Bucks, like you said, they're done. When Lillard had the strained Achilles and Giannis being out, they were already hanging on for dear life without Giannis. But once Lillard got injured, and it sounds like they're going to try and run it back for next season, it's over. So again, the Indiana Pacers up 3-1 in that series. The other game that was yesterday was the Dallas Mavericks lost to Clippers. Gafford had 5 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists, but they still lost the Clippers. That's the best series right now at 2-2. And then Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves swept the Phoenix Suns. You've kind of had a changing of the guard of sorts. So KD's out. LeBron's on his way out. They're going to lose to the Denver Nuggets. You've got these guys. Steph Curry didn't make the playoffs. I mean, you've got these teams that have had the success all these years and great players, but you're seeing these young guys like Haliburton, like Anthony Edwards and whatnot that are kind of shifting things right now. It's really a change to the NBA, and I'm curious to see kind of how that looks moving forward.
Well, the thing that I would wonder about, like, for example, Anthony Edwards, how long does he stay in Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
How long before they engineer some kind of move to get him in L.A. or New York or one of the major markets? The NBA over the years, this goes back to Stern, and I'm not saying it's necessarily bad, but their best players always seem to find their way to the best markets before their careers are over. And, for example, I wonder how long Giannis stays in Milwaukee, because the Lakers have always been one of the cornerstone franchises, and the biggest stars have always seemingly found their way to L.A. years ago. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, go all the way back to that. The stars always seem to find their way there. So I think there's a changing of the guard in terms of who the stars are in the NBA, who the kids emulate. I'll be anxious to see if they stay with these franchises. If, for example, the Minnesota Timberwolves or the Oklahoma City Thunder remain the best teams in the Western Conference. I don't know. I mean, I hope so, but I'll be anxious to see where some of these guys end up.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is the number one source for all your sports betting this season and every season. You'll find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends all at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. The fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Go to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Did y'all get to watch the Kentucky-South Carolina game yesterday over the weekend?
I watched part of the series. I did, yes.
Okay. Well, we know what the problem was is that did you notice, and it was on Kentucky, and I haven't seen it from other teams, and I don't know if this news, did you notice that Kentucky communicating was through the watch, and I know, and I flipped over to Clemson and Louisville, and Clemson was doing the same thing. So instead, you know, they were communicating and had all their plays on a watch. Is that pretty new this year? Because I haven't seen a lot of teams doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do it. Arkansas does it to an extent. I think teams, it started, I guess, last year, maybe the year before. Some have been slower to adapt to it than others. It's kind of the reaction to the pitch clock. And it's one of the things that's come as a result of, you know, the desire to speed up the game. Technology allows you to communicate. You know, you don't have to give the old-fashioned signs anymore. So, yeah, that's becoming very common, actually.
Yeah, and who is it? One of them was commenting this weekend that they were still using the radio and the old-school signs. And that stood out because everyone is gone to the watch or at least the radio, and then the old school signals is
still getting used.
Well, you know,
Tennessee or somebody was doing that.
And some schools like Arkansas, I mean, the catcher calls the game. The catcher calls the vast majority of the game. And it just helps with communication.
Yeah, and I guess you see, had Hudson White play. I know Ryder Helfer DH, and then Parker Rowland played. So I guess it's different based on the catcher. All right, let's talk to PA, who's in Texarkana this morning. He also wants to chime in on the baseball conversation. What's up, PA?
Good morning, fellas. I want to let someone know. Maybe Chuck, he can get a message to Coach Van Horn, or maybe even Coach Van Horn or Brady Tigers listening. But I really enjoy watching Brady pitch, because I was a D1 pitch, not D1, I was a small college pitcher. I know a little bit about it. I wasn't nearly as good as Brady, but I was okay when I was young. But what I wanted to say was Brady has gotten to where more and more, when he's wanting to throw that real big bender, the one for the strikeout, that curveball for the strikeout, he'll sit there an extra 2 or 3 seconds. Not sit there, stand there on the rubber, looking in at the catcher, at the mitt. And I noticed, well, I noticed it one time, and then I said, well, surely he doesn't do that every time, that same pitch. But maybe this, I hope this is not a pattern. But I watched him real close on Saturday, that first game, and it's getting to be more and more where he's holding that ball a little longer, and I guess getting a better grip on that, better grip on the onion, because he's ready to really peel that skin off on that bender.
It's kind of like when Chuck and I have to stand over a 6-footer to have the hole or to win the hole. You might pause a few more seconds to gather yourself. You know,
other teams are going to pick up on that.
It's a good point.
Brady said something interesting after the game. Appreciate the call, PA. Again, two back-to-back performances, 6+ innings. He kind of just chalked it up to this.
I mean, really just feeling confident about one pitch at a time and making the best of my ability.
He was in a situation where he had struggled a little bit during a stretch of this season, and now has put back. And Tommy, you put the importance earlier. I thought you made a good point. So no Molina. Molina's been your game two guy. Originally was Tiger to start the year. They switched those guys. You didn't have Maliga because he got, I'm paraphrasing, injury with that ankle during a practice or a rep or something. And so that game two, not the game one and Hagan and the guys getting it done in game one, but that game two with not having Molina, and we saw what Florida did to that pitching in game three, that was huge, especially for him, and not just him, but Stone Hewlett and some of the other guys that we saw on Saturday.
Well, you knew after Friday night you had to win one of those games on Saturday. You know, I mean, if you were going to win the series, you had to win one of those games. And that means somebody's going to have to give you a good start, whether it's Tigert in game two or whether it's whoever you run out there in game three. And fortunately, they were able to, they were able to get that. It's a team game. And, they won 2 of 3, and they're still a game up in the West and held serve and tied with Kentucky now for the overall lead. So, yeah, Tiger was big, and just winning that first game on Saturday was a big deal.
Let's talk to Brent, who's in Searcy this morning. Brent, what's going on, man?
I got one thing to say, Ty. You trying to get physical with somebody makes about as much sense as me trying to get physical with somebody. I mean, there's no way you and I could back up whatever we said or did. So
Ty's a fighter now. Don't kid yourself.
Clearly, he's not a lover. He must be a fighter. So,
well, I know that. But I got one. How about our baseball team? The only problem I have is we hit the ball when we need big hits. But we can't do it when we got people. We had the bases loaded Saturday afternoon in the first inning of the doubleheader, the second game, and we don't get anything. I think our hitters are too concerned about we got to get this launch angle, we got to do this, we got to do that. Let's just see ball and hit ball. I mean, that's the most important thing, isn't it? Can you help me with that, Chuck?
Well, probably not, because I'm not a hitting coach. But timely hits are a big part of it. There's no doubt about that. Here's the thing that I think you have to remember, though, is Arkansas is not the only team with good pitchers. You know, we're not the only team that's got a deep bullpen. We're not the only team out there that's got a guy that can, you know, pitch a shutout. I mean, Jack Caglione's pretty doggone good for Florida. And so, you know, you're not going to win every game, and there are games where the other guys are just gonna pitch better than you hit. I mean, good pitching beats good hitting's universal. That's not just something that, you know, has been applied when your team's out there pitching.
We're under a month from the SEC tournament, and the top four teams in the D1 baseball poll are all SEC teams. Yeah. A&M, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee – in the top four spots, Clemson's five. I mean, you talk about maybe a better tournament than the College World Series as far as quality top to bottom. The SEC tournament, in respect to the quality of the teams that get in that last eight, Chuck, it may be better than what gets to the College World Series.
Well, it is on paper. Now, those top four teams you're talking about, truth be told, they're trying to figure out a way to get out of town as quickly as they can.
I know.
And, they may say otherwise. And when the game starts, you want to win. But look at the teams who've won that tournament and look at how they've done, you know, when you get to the big dance. You expend – it's ridiculous the amount of energy you have to expend to win that tournament. I'm not saying it's anybody's fault. I'm just saying because of the talent you talked about, it's ridiculous what you have to do to win that tournament, and you don't have anything left.
Yeah. Back in the old days, what was it, eight teams made the tournament when it was a 10-team conference, isn't that right? And then
we were part of the 12-team league. Every year we've been in, it's been 12. I think it's when they went to 14 that, you know, not everybody got in. You had single elimination. They've changed the format up a lot of times.
I don't like the double elimination part, but that's neither here nor there. But you're exactly right. I've always stumped for the idea that the top teams should be exempt. That will never happen. I know that's adverse to common logic, but you ought to be able to earn your buy out of the conference tournament, earn a way out, but that's not going to be the way it is.
So, and I'm refresh my memory. The new with Texas and Oklahoma coming in the league, hasn't it transitioned to single elimination? Don't I remember?
Well, parts are double, parts are single. Okay. That's happened now for a while.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Television has something to do with that. Yeah. When you get into the semifinal rounds,
You know, people, and this is a trip. I know Arkansas hasn't won a lot of these things, the Hoover aspect, not the regular season, but the Hoover aspect. There are Arkansas fans. This is a yearly trek for them. Yeah. They go down and
it's great baseball.
They have fans that of opposing teams that they meet. I know we're still several weeks out from that, but you got Kentucky this week. If we're just doing SEC series, you got Kentucky this weekend, home against Mississippi State, which, by the way, is graduation weekend, so it's going to be packed in Northwest Arkansas, specifically Fayetteville, and then you close out against A&M, then you go to Hoover. But there are fans that from all over the different pockets of the Southeast that make the trip every year.
But wandering back to Chuck's point, you know, these other teams got good pitchers and good hitters, and I was just wanting to compound it by making the point, just look at your poll, you know. You don't have to go outside the top four to find all SEC teams and how rich that environment in Hoover is going to be. So, I mean, Arkansas can play great baseball and still come up short because of the quality of the teams you're playing.
Brandon texting in on the McCarty-Daniel hotline saying Sunday is a good indicator of how good Mason Molina has been for this team and his importance, because we saw on the second game in Saturday that when you don't have that like solidified third starter, things can get away from you. So again, it's not a heavy injury, but it's one that once you get him back, you're going to be more than happy to have him back.
Well, you're right. That's exactly right. And you know, you can't ever have enough pitching. I thought one of the things that was encouraging, even though they didn't win the ball game, the second game, you got some guys some work. And there's some pitchers back there. When you get into the postseason, and I'm not talking about the conference tournament. I'm looking past that. When you get into the postseason, the NCAA tournament, you're going to have some guy. There's going to have to be some pitcher that's just been okay during the course of the season that becomes lights out when you get to the end. I mean, that's part of the formula for winning the whole thing is somebody's got to emerge, and the good ones have got to continue to do what they've been doing. But I look at some of these guys that have pitched out of the bullpen, particularly a lot of them that pitched in the second game. Can they give you something in a game that you have down the road? I don't know. You know, obviously we're going to find out. Hey, if you're getting your air conditioner ready for the summer, don't pay for the spring tune-up. If you're a Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric partner, this is already part of the deal. If you've signed up for their plan protection program, preventative maintenance is something that they do on a regular basis. Don't pay to have your air conditioner tuned up this spring. Become a Pascal customer. Become a Pascal partner. And this is going to be taken care of all year long, whether it's summer, whether it's winter, whether it's your heater, whether it's your air conditioning system. They're going to make certain it's running year-round, and that gives you peace of mind. It's part of what they do at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Professional people, professional service. You can schedule your appointment at gopascal.com.
Guys, also want to give credit to the softball team this weekend that went on the road and got a series win against LSU. And you think about, we're talking about Arkansas success in Baumwalker Stadium. This softball program has had a ton of success on the road in the conference. And here's Courtney Dyfel on that after that game 2 win where they clinched the series.
Ryan's like, what makes you guys so tough on the road? It's like, we just like take care of business. But you guys are freaking tough on the road. We're freaking locked in every pitch. And it doesn't matter if there's no outs, one out, two out, we're grinding. But it takes everybody. Way to win the series!
So I realized that baseball has sucked a lot of the air out of the room, and this basketball team with Cal not just throwing the first pitch this weekend, but what's been happening in the transfer portal and that. But again, Chuck, I think you made a really good point this past Friday when I was talking about the Alabama series, the fact that you being a back-to-back, it's like, this is like kind of expected now. I mean, they are the way that they have, and I think the stat, I think Ethan Westerman had this stat in Whole Hog Sports that the last 3 or 4 years, I think Arkansas has the most softball wins of any SEC program. I believe that's correct. So, I mean, that's a credit to what Courtney did, because softball was a nothing burger prior to her getting there. No one cared about softball. No one in the state cared. No one called in, texted in on the McCarty-Daniel hotline about softball, but now it's a big thing here in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and across the state.
Well, they've played well. She's a great ambassador for her sport and her program. They've got a great ballpark. I believe you have to have a great ballpark. It has to be comfortable. People have to be comfortable when they go. You can't just throw a bunch of metal bleachers up and have a good team and expect people to show up. You got to have both. And they do. And it's been she's perfect for the job. And the kids she's recruited obviously are very good players. And they mirror her personality, evidently. And they I wouldn't want to play them on the road, that's for sure.
Yeah, LSU found out this weekend.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
There's been a lot of talk this morning about the play that Peyton Holt made on Saturday, and deservedly so, but we can't forget what Jarek Sprade-Lott did, saving a run in game number one.
First time the Gators have really threatened since the first inning. The set and the 0-1. High chop, Sprade-Lott coming from third. Barehand throws home, tag. What a play by Jarek Sprade-Lott for the out at home plate. They're going to be showing that play on Top 10. Oh my goodness, a high chop, Sprade-Lott charging from third base. Did not use the glove. Bare hands, throws to White, getting Shelton. Big league play all the way around.
You know, I was listening to Phil on that call, and Friday I actually was just, I didn't even watch the game, I just listened to it, and I, like him, thought that would be on SportsCenter, much to my chagrin. Guys, I watched SportsCenter the next day, it didn't even make the top 10. Like Peyton's did. Peyton was number one, but I was surprised that they didn't include Jarek Sprade-Lott. Well, I don't know if it was because it was late at night or what, but went on the SportsCenter top 10 that next day.
And I don't know with, you know, that game was supposed to have been on the SEC Network, and then softball with Auburn and Ole Miss, that's a whole other subject, you know, preempted. Then it went extra innings.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're watching on your tablet or your computer or you're streaming TV. So I don't know if the fact that it wasn't on real TV has anything to do with that.
That
I don't know.
That could be.
I just think there were a lot of great plays in sports. I mean, you think about all the things that are going on in sports right now. I don't know that you're going to have, you know, like two college baseball plays in the top 10.
That's fair. Jared got asked about the play after the game. Here's how he kind of summed it up.
I knew they had the tying run on third. Knew he was going on contact. As soon as the ball hit the dirt, I just wanted to make a play on it. And that was kind of the only play I had. I wanted to help Hagan out.
It's kind of interesting when we reflect on guys either midseason or after the season, and I think you've done this in basketball before, Chuck, but I don't remember any Arkansas baseball fan being like, Do you see that Richmond transfer? Do you see that Jarek Sprade-Lott we got? Man, what a get. But, man, he's been a godsend for this baseball team when he's been healthy this year.
Well, they knew it. You know, they knew it. We don't go watch him practice in the fall, and but they knew it. And that's why he's been at third base almost from the get-go, when a lot of people wondered why. He's an instinctive player, which all great third basemen are. And you know, we tend to focus on things like, you know, batting average and things like that, home runs, and those things are important. But this guy really knows how to play the game, and that's the thing that I think separates him. That play that he made, both plays, the two plays this weekend, the ground ball there in the first game where he barehanded it and came home, and the throw home off the play Holt made. You don't make those plays unless you have great baseball instincts, and he's got them.
We got a text here on the McCarty Daniel Hotline. Barton Rogers wishes he could watch it. Thanks to Stu Hogg, who posts the baseball highlights. You can just go to YouTube and you can watch. He put game one and two up if you want to replay Peyton Holt's play or Jarek Sprade-Lott's play. Some football news for you this weekend. Former Marion standout Anthony Switzer, who started his career at Utah State, it looks like safety, has committed to the Arkansas Razorback football team. Also saw that Snacks Johnson recommitted to Baylor, which you've seen, like with Jimmy Witt, for example, with the basketball program, but that is where he's going to go back to school in Waco, the two football news. And they're going to have a quarterback by the name of Blake Boda, who's in town apparently today, according to Hog Pete. So trying to bolster that quarterback room after losing Jacoby Criswell to the portal.
I'm sure they're busy right now. I'm sure everybody's busy right now.
Other football news, Bo Limmer and Cam Little, the two Razorbacks drafted. Limmer to the Los Angeles Rams, Cam Little to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you had four other guys that signed free agent deals for the Arkansas from the Arkansas football team as well. And then the three freshman basketball players signed their national letters of intent. They had that announcement this weekend. So plenty of signing stuff that happened both on the professional side of things and the college side of things for Arkansas.
I suspect the NBA draft's getting ready to become a bigger deal around here than it has been in years past with the direction it seems our program is headed. If you want your football program to be successful at the level we would hope, the NFL draft's got to become a bigger deal of player watching. So You know, those things go hand in hand.
Well, it is an interesting stat, and I hate to belittle Arkansas high school football, but it was on display this weekend on the bad side of things, where not a single player from the state of Arkansas was drafted this weekend. Think about that. Not a single player from the state of Arkansas high school programs were drafted in this NFL draft. And you look at some of the other schools that you have to compete against, the likes of Texas, Florida, Georgia, and I know you get players from there from time to time, but it just shows this weekend is a microcosm of what Arkansas high school football is comparatively to other SEC states. It's not close. That's one of the detriments of unfortunately being the head coach that Sam Pittman has to deal with as the head coach of the University of Arkansas. And that is what they, again, will continue to have to deal with unless the state gets better in high school football side of things. All right, that is your Hog Update this morning. It is brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
All right, Sterling is in Center Ridge this morning. Sterling, what's going on this Hot Take Monday, man?
Hey, nothing much, guys. Love the show and great point, Ty, about Arkansas high school football. And, you know, and some people say that's the excuse, but it's a reason. It's a difference between excuses and reasons, and that's one of the reasons why we fall behind. It can be overcome. Don't mean you can't be good at football here, but it's just one of the obstacles, and you just don't get to start on third base like some programs. But I thought about, you know, every time Missouri State is on the schedule. And I'm going to be frank with you guys. You know, I know everybody wants Missouri to be a football rivalry and Missouri to be a rivalry and different things. But the rivalry I got with the state of Missouri is this baseball program, Missouri State. And when I was coming up, they were called Southwest Missouri State. And in 1999, they gave me one of my most heartbreaking defeats as a Hog fan, regardless of sport, of my life. We up a couple of runs, got scouts, two strikes. I want to say it's a 1-2 camp, Rodney and I on the mound, and just a curveball and knocked out off that mat. It's icky. I'll never forget it.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Yeah.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Clardy Daniel Hotline this morning calling in from Memphis. He has some thoughts on a football game coming up against Oklahoma State. What's up, Dirty South Hog?
What's going on, Ty? What's going on, Tommy? Yeah, interesting things being said this morning, but one thing that I want to bring to the table is I do think that we are going to go on the road and beat Oklahoma State and go into Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn 3-0. You know what that game means to us for the rest of the season, I don't know, but I do think that it is a buy-in game for us. We go on the road, win that game in a hostile environment, you know, in the Big 12 environment, Oklahoma State, T-Bone pick his money, you know, we coming to take it all. I do think, you know, with Jaquinda Jackson at running back, we're going to be able to run through Oklahoma State's defense. So I expect us to win that game by 20-plus. Tell me what you guys think, and have a good day.
20-plus. I don't know what odds.
At least you don't expect much.
Yeah, I don't know what odds you get in the Bet Saracen app. I will say, Matt, one of our Oklahoma State friends, Tommy, I don't know if he texted you this. A.J. Green put out a picture of him in a big cast. I don't know the status of him for this upcoming season. I just know that it didn't look good based on the picture he posted, so you wonder about him. You're a long ways off from playing in Stillwater and Booth Pickett Stadium. I just hope they make it through fall camp without any injuries, and we'll see how they look against UAPB on, I guess, August the 29th. Then we'll get to Oklahoma State.
Well, I think he's right, though, in that it's a buy-in game for fans. That's for sure.
Oh, no question.
And I think that there's a lot of importance there. You know, it's interesting. I was on a radio show in Alabama last week, and, you know, the guy that I was on with was talking about Arkansas, and he asked, he said, what game are the fans pointing to? Now, I knew he meant SEC games, but, you know, my honest answer at this point is I think for a lot of fans, it's that Oklahoma State game over in Stillwater. No, it's not a conference ball game, but they are what we would categorize as a legit program, maybe not a top 25 program necessarily, but a legit program, and a program that you expect to be. You like to think that we're better than Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. So I do think that it's a buy-in game for fans. And I think very honestly, I think for the players and the coaches, they know that for better or worse, that's a barometer.
And
it doesn't mean that's the best team they're going to play, but it's a barometer.
I mean, that's the Big 12 runner-up. They return basically everyone on offense, and Ollie Gordon's one of the best running backs, if not the best running backs in college football. So you should be expected to win that game. But if you somehow do, I think season tickets might be easier to sell.
Well, and I think historically a lot of fans, particularly of a little older age, view Oklahoma State's program in total as an equal to Arkansas, or as one amongst your equals, amongst your peers. You're kind of, you know, in that same little brother state of mind, even though we're the only show in town in our state. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma State lives in the shadow of the Sooners. Programs have had similar
Pat
rises
Jones connection.
And falls. There's that connection. There's a Jimmy Johnson. There's a Houston Nutt connection. So I think, Chuck, a lot of people look in the mirror with both of these programs and see each other. And I don't know if Oklahoma State feels that way, but I know a lot of Arkansas fans that view Oklahoma State as a similar comparison to the Razorback program.
Well, I think both programs kind of feel like they're a little better than the other one. Just to be honest about it. And I think that if you're an Arkansas fan, the feeling is, if we're going to be good, we should beat Oklahoma State. And an Oklahoma State fan feels like, if we're good, we should beat Arkansas at home. So I think you've got two fan bases who actually believe they're better than the other. And I think that's, you know, that's an outside dynamic. Obviously, the game's going to be decided on the field. But I think the caller's correct in that from a fan perspective, it's a buy-in game. And look, if Arkansas goes over there and wins that game, they're going to head to Auburn, a very confident football team.
And I think for a lot of reasons, that is the season opener in a lot of people's minds. That opener with Pine Bluff moved to Thursday. So it's a little bit different night. It's heading into a holiday weekend with Labor Day. you know, and whether you win 100-0 or 21-20 against UAP, people aren't going to put a lot of weight on the outcome of that game. So no matter how much you win by, going to Oklahoma State and winning is going to be how we measure early season success or failure.
My guess would be that there will be points over the final 2 weeks of preseason practice where they're working against what Oklahoma State does as opposed to what UAPB does. I think they understand the importance of this. In fact, I know they do. So I would not be at all surprised to see that.
And knowing where Sam Pittman's roots are, Northeast Oklahoma, Grove, that program's not very far away as far as the car ride to Stillwater from the Monkey Island Grove area there up in Northeast Oklahoma. I would imagine this is a game, you know, he grew up being a Razorback fan, but imagine he grew up with a lot of people that were Oklahoma State fans, and this game probably has a little bit of a feel because of his roots and where he's from.
It's the closest game in proximity, unless you count literally, that you'll play all year from Donald W. I mean, it's...
Well, I think the biggest thing for Sam Pittman and all of them is that if, you know, you don't win that ball game, you know, it's probably not going to be a great SEC season. And I'm not saying everything hinges on that Oklahoma State game, but, you know, let's be honest. They're all fighting to keep their gigs right now. So I think that's foremost on everybody's mind, is we got to win this football game, regardless of who it's against.
What does it also say for, you know, you bought Bobby Petrino in, you're going to turn your offense over to him. For him, I think it's a big moment as well.
Well, we all do this. We try to define the season before we get to the end of September because we all want to be the first one to say this is how it's going to turn out. We're all guilty of it. So I'm not going to put too much into it. All I'm saying is from a fan's perspective, what the caller said is right. It's a buy-in game.
Yeah. Got the contrarian view this morning from Jason Centerton said Arkansas football is not ready to step up yet. Oklahoma State will win this game by at least 10 or more points. Donor Nashville.
So we got one side, and it goes to my point. Yeah. Both sides think they're a little better than the other. You got an Arkansas guy saying they're going to win by 20. got a guy that thinks Oklahoma State's going to win by 10.
You laid
They're both to the extreme there.
Yeah, but Ty, you laid it out in their recent success last year, runner-up in the Big 12. Arkansas probably will be an underdog by close to 10 going into the game.
Yeah, and here's the good thing about this matchup. Oklahoma State sucked at the beginning of last year, and they've not had, like, starting out, Gundy's like had the track record of success, averaged like 9 or 10 wins since he's been there, and there is no question that he's one of the better coaches, more underrated coaches in college football. But if you look at the history of that program under Gundy, they start slow and finish strong. So again, I'm trying to take the positive approach this morning, and I don't necessarily think they're going to win, but you might have that advantage of getting a team where they typically don't play their best football, which is the beginning. I realize the old cliche, well, you play your best football at the end of the season. There is documented evidence that Oklahoma State is not that great the first few weeks of the season. So maybe that's a benefit for Arkansas in that week, too, even though you're going up against a highly potent offense that virtually returned everyone. The Cowboys.
Well, I think that's the key right there. That's the key. When they struggled early last year, they were not an offense that had returned everyone. Mm-hmm. So some of that has to do with your personnel and cyclical and, you know, where you are in terms of your roster and things like that. But look, it's we're making a little too much out of it. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a sign, perhaps, of things to come.
We wouldn't do that.
But it is the second week of the regular season. It's not a season definer, but it is a really important game.
Yeah, 122 days out from August the 29th. I know our Bud Light countdown will
never
get
going. Too early to speculate.
Nope, it is.
We do get to May this week. Hard to believe the year is a third over.
Man, when you put it like that.
Well, yeah, we're 4 months in this week, Wednesday.
I still write 2022 down. one of these days, I'll catch
1990. Oh, wait, well, scratch that.
on the subject of Oklahoma State, you did have an Oklahoma State transfer who was in town this weekend, and him. I know people are asking about Jonas Adu, the Janelle kid from Florida Atlantic. You've got a former Kentucky player. You've got three guys that were committed to Kentucky. I am curious the first transfer that you get. for this Arkansas basketball team? Is it going to be Janelle Davis? Is it going to be Brandon Garrison? Or is it going to be Jonas Adu? I think, again, they've got three kind of guard/forward guys. I'm hoping they can add to their front line. And one of the things that I was curious about with John Calipari, and he's managed to do this at Kentucky, and again, you're basically a third of the roster. We're talking about a third of the year being over. A third of the roster has been constructed at this point. One of the things I wondered about is how he was going to recruit from the opposing coaches negatively recruiting him in the sense of, well, they're getting this guy, this guy, and this guy, so you're not going to play the minutes in Fayetteville that maybe you would here. He is somehow, some way, the last years at Kentucky, not just last year, since he got there, pulled these guys in, both transfer and high school players, despite having a bunch of talented players already. It doesn't seem to be an issue from what I've read and kind of been told to this point, Chuck.
Well, when you're a five-star recruit, getting a chance to play is not going to be an issue. You're thinking about going to the NBA, and that's the somehow, some way, is that you just look over the NBA right now and you look at all the players. Not all of them were stars at Kentucky. Not all of them got big minutes at Kentucky. I'll be honest with you. There's a player or two in the NBA, and I'm not going to get into names, but there's a player or two in the NBA that are standouts right now that he played at Kentucky for 1 year. We played him once. And so you don't really remember him. But, yeah, that's the somehow, some way, is that just look at the NBA rosters.
Yeah, and I still continue to just fall back on the question or the phrase or the thought. When someone comes to me, and it happens to all of us, people, when are we going to hear about more of these players? Worried about roster construction. Just say, hey, when has John Calipari had a bad roster? He'll point me to the year where he just didn't get it done and whiffed in recruiting. It's going to happen.
Well, I don't think people are worried he's going to be able to put together a roster. I just think they want to know today. I mean, it's fun to know today. Well, then they don't know what they're talking about. I'm just going to be blunt. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just worried to be worried because they'll be fine in that regard. There'll be more this week.
I mean, just name me the roster he didn't have studs up and down, all 13 spots.
Well, that's my point. Anybody that's worried, just worried to be worried.
Transfer portal closes tomorrow, but again, you can exit any time, and that does not apply for graduates. Again, I mentioned you're a third of the way done, right?
You got 13.
And you got to add one more walk on to Lawson Blake. But as we sit here this morning on April the 29th, you have a top five recruiting class now.
With four players.
That is going to be, he's still got to add eight more, or what is it? No, sorry. Nine more guys. That's hard. And you have a top five recruiting class right now. That is just talking about the high school players. So when you factor in the transfers, she's got, and Arkansas has a little bit of an unfair advantage because you didn't have anyone on the roster, as we were talking about earlier. But that is where you're sitting this morning, and it's probably going to get better in terms of rankings. Well, you'll be, when it's all said and done, one or two.
Here's the way it works, and it's always worked this way with Cal. We're going to win wherever he coaches, in this case Arkansas. Arkansas is going to win or be in the hunt for every recruiting battle every year. Every year Arkansas is going to be in the top five that Calipari's here. I guarantee you, every year he's here, Arkansas is going to be in the top five recruiting. Every year we're going to watch the NBA draft, and we're going to see guys that have played here 1 year go to the NBA. It's going to happen every single year that he's here. The question's going to be here, just like it was at Kentucky. How does that translate into getting to the Final Four and winning a national championship? That's what the fans of your team want to know. But the idea that Arkansas is going to, we're going to be in the top 10 recruiting, please. They're going to be in the top five every year he's here. Yeah. Every year. And so just enjoy the fun. Just sit back and enjoy, because it is going to be fun to watch.
And it won't last forever.
Yeah, when Kenny Payne was on staff, I want to say in the 10 years he was in Lexington, they only didn't finish as the number one class like two or three times. I think 7 years they finished with the top recruiting.
Well, taking nothing away from Kenny Payne. It's about Cal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about Cal.
Yeah. But you're paying him $900,000 for a reason.
Mm-hmm. He is, and I mean, coach.
Oh, he's very good. I'm not diminishing his role. I'm saying that, you know, they weren't just, you know, number one or number two when Kenny Payne was there. I mean, Cal's the one that gets him there, and Kenny Payne is very good at what he does. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. How many times do you think Cal has, you know, showed off in front of recruits at a Kentucky baseball game? I mean, it's probably rare for him to use baseball as something to show off the campus and the fan base and the spirit and all that stuff rolled up into one. I don't know this, but I don't imagine that they did that a lot at Kentucky baseball. And he was out there throwing out the first pitch this weekend.
Yeah, and not that that is the thing that gets recruits to come, but Arkansas does that.
It's just
that.
One more thing.
Yeah, right? And then you think about when football players come into Bud Walton Arena or basketball or football players come into Bomb Walker Stadium. It is an advantage that Arkansas
has. It was the
had.
Biggest thing on campus.
Correct.
And it was, you know, enough to utilize.
Yeah, and the fact that he wasn't just there but throwing out the first pitch. It was funny. Dave was talking about that after the game, said that Cal just wanted to make sure he wasn't stealing any of the limelight.
I talked to him between games. Actually, they came into my office when I was – doing some lineups. We talked about a few things, and he didn't want to take away from our team or a game, and he asked if I was good with it. I said, yeah, I'm good with it. You know, I'm glad you're here, and go out there and build your brand a little bit, get people fired up about basketball. They're fired up about baseball, and but yeah, he seems excited to be here, so I'm excited he's here.
I'm going to be honest. He threw a pretty good pitch. I can't remember what Clay did when he threw out the first pitch, but I would airmail it. I'd throw it in the backstop. I wouldn't throw it short.
He threw it from the top of the hill too.
Yeah,
he was out there on the bump. He did not get between the mound and home plate and threw a strike. Looked like he knew what he was doing.
He got 10,000 people there. I'd throw that sucker over. Just wouldn't want to land it short.
Yeah, I just wish that you kind of been on a normal schedule and you could have promoted it. Not that Arkansas baseball needs help getting people to the park. But that might have brought a few more people out, Chuck.
Well, I think they talked about it in advance. I mean, they had a big crowd. They'd had a bigger crowd either way. I think that was done more for the fans than anything else. I'm just going to be real honest. I don't know that John Calipari needs to throw out the first pitch at a baseball game to build his brand. I mean, I say that respectfully. I think his brand's fine, but I think it was great for our fans, and certainly it was a good moment for him. I would be surprised, honestly, if Cal's not enjoying feeling the love, because he spent 15 years at Kentucky giving them, you know, better than I think they realized, and you know, they were ready for him to go, and now he's at a place where his every move's cheered. So I would imagine in his heart of hearts he probably enjoys that. Hey, let me pause just for a second and talk to you about Sawyers. They're a new partner on the Morning Rush. Bud Sawyer's an old friend. He's a broadcaster for Northside, and you know, he also understands what it takes to make a great home project. And, you know, your home's your biggest asset. So when you decide to add a sunroom, a patio cover, a new driveway, or new windows, you really need to call a company you can trust. And Sawyers has been a part of our community for over 30 years. They're locally owned and operated. Sunrooms, patio covers, pergolas, driveways, windows. And that includes decorative concrete, pavers, things like that. They've got new motorized louvered pergolas as well. And those are pretty neat. Commercial, residential, lifetime products and warranties, quality workmanship. Now, they've got a showroom on Highway 271 South in Fort Smith, or you can log on to Sawyers-Sunrooms.com.
Speaking of showing love, the 2004 Arkansas baseball team was showing the love.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.